We're in hour number two of our broadcast from Or Yisrael in Tenafly, New Jersey. Rabbi Scott Friedman is the founding head of school at Or Yisrael in Tenafly, New Jersey. I'll tell you why I'm laughing. I believe, in all seriousness, this is no way demeaning. I think that you'll find it funny. I believe the last time you and I spoke on the air was about construction. It was about building a Beit Midrash, if I'm not mistaken.
At Heicha.
Correct. You remember that?
Absolutely.
So here, look what you've done. You've built another Beit Midrash, which is, of course, the centerpiece of this beautiful building and dedicated, of course, in memory of and in honor of the members of the Rosazada family. So did you have more of a role in the building of that Beit Midrash or the building of this one?
It's a good question. I had a very big role in both. But I'm glad you brought it up because it's really what they're both about the same thing, which is trying to build Torah and, you know, help teenagers grow. And from what I know, Heichal is doing a phenomenal job. And I'm very lucky to have been a part and have a schluss in helping Joe help Heichal.
Right.
And now to be able to do it here, which is a very different mission. You know, it's a salsa.
I spoke to Rabbi Yablok earlier, as you know, and we were talking about the challenge of taking on the task of being a founding principal. Tell me about the task about being a founding head of school. It is, even with all the schools that are being built, thank God, in this country, there are many Jewish schools. We're in an era where I think there are just a lot of schools that are popping up in different places. But it can't be easy to take on this challenge and have the confidence that you're going to succeed. What was it like the months before this school ever opened?
That's a great question. It was hard. This was a vision I had going back to probably 2002.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Right in the middle of your whole Jewish education experience.
Yeah, well, that's where it was formed.
Right.
You know, I personally was a miserable high school student. I was a miserable student, to be honest. I don't think anyone's ever hated school as much as I have.
Wow.
Yeah, which I think is unique about my role. I believe the average, or even more than average, most heads of schools and probably even educators are people who like school. And I actually think that's where the disconnect is with the majority of Talmidim, of students in most of the schools.
Because such a large number don't have an affinity to school, right?
Exactly.
Don't enjoy the experience.
And so often I've heard parents say, you're not supposed to like school.
Right.
That's the way it is.
Right.
And so what happens is it's hard for them to relate because they like school. That's why they went back into it. But the average kid didn't. So I think that gives me a perspective that I'm able to relate and try to cater and custom make the experience.
Well, I'm going to jump ahead topics then for a moment, if I may.
Sure.
You then need Rabbeim. Well, we could talk about secular subject teachers as well, but let's start with Rabbeim because we know that it's the centerpiece of a Jewish school. You need Rabbeim, who I don't want to say who all failed out of school,
yeah,
like you're, or had a miserable experience like you said you had.
Sure.
But you need Rabbeim who can relate to those who don't want what we've gotten used to in terms of conventional Jewish. Can you find those types of rabbis?
Another great question. So, yeah, I'll tell you where the culture exists. There's a whole underground of such people. Basically what happens in the world that I grew up in, kids go to school. Most of them don't like it. Many of them hate it, to be honest. It's a very unnatural experience. And they're really forced into it because if they don't do it, they're afraid their future is at stake, you know, their reputation, whatever it might be. There's a lot of fear, in my opinion. And they go to Eretz Yisrael. They have this amazing experience. And whereas so many kids are struggling religiously and emotionally, and they are, in high school, Baruch Hashem, for the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, they have this completely different experience. Now, I know your kids might have been different, but no, they were. They were always good students, and they liked school. And, you know, in Baruch Hashem, you're very fortunate. But I don't think that is really the average kid out there. And that's a testament to you and to them. They're wonderful kids. But that's not the average experience. And then they go to Eretz Yisrael, and all of a sudden they have this totally different experience.
Yeah, but I think students of all backgrounds have a great time in Israel. I don't mean great time fun. I mean great time in terms of having an inspiring experience. I think the best students have a great, inspiring experience, and those who were weak in high school have an inspiring experience.
You know what? I'm glad you said that.
I'm
glad you said that. I'll tell you why. Because I do believe that this concept and philosophy that we stand for here is for everybody. People say to me all the time, you're filling a need. I'm like, really? Do you know what that need is? What need do you think we're filling?
Your vision is both the very good student and the weaker student can thrive in this building. That's your vision, basically.
Not can. They do. Right, they will. Right. And it comes really from my experience in Eretz Yisrael. You know, I had a tremendous experience in Reishit back in 1999. I stayed 4 years in Eretz Yisrael.
In Reishit?
No, I was in Madrich there for 2 years. But I learned in other yeshivas. And one of the stops along the way was Eish HaTorah. And Eish wouldn't let me in. Why? Because I had a background. And they said, we only work with people without backgrounds, which is an interesting idea. And if we had more time, I'd elaborate.
At least they were upfront about it, but okay.
But what was special about Eish, you had people who were highly motivated, learning in Koilo there. And then you had people walking around with tattoos and ponytails. And it was amazing. Each people were coming to Hashem from their own place and in their own way. And that was my vision, that we would create an environment that would breed a ruchnius, that would breed a healthiness, that would breed a love of Hashem from wherever guys are coming from. And we're already building it, and it's already happening, and it's a dream come true to see it happening. I'll just tell you quickly, I remember when I came back from Eretz Yisrael, so I was hired, you know, somewhere that I worked, and I remember seeing a friend of mine who had worked there before I got there for about a year or two. And I remember I said to him, like, so when is everyone going to realize that we need to mimic what's going on in Eretz Yisrael? Like, when's everyone going to get with the program? It's so obvious to everyone in Eretz Yisrael that things there are being done properly. When's it going to happen here? And he said to me, like, what are you talking about? It's a different world. You can't compare. And I was like, really? You think that? Like, I was so shocked. You know, I really thought that he, of course, would get it. He didn't get it. And you know, our career.
But you're hiring Urbayim now, I assume, who get it.
Only.
Otherwise,
100%.
You know, what's the point? You can't do this yourself.
100%. And the Urbayim here are.
I mean, even Rabbi Yablok as a choice, I'm sure, was, you know, someone who you felt, you know, would understand exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah, and I would add something else. We will only hire people that I've never heard any student ever say that they had a problem with. If I ever hear from one student, one, that they had an issue with a Rebbe or someone, I will never hire that person.
Rabbi Scott Friedman's with us. He's founding head of school here at the Or Yisrael in Tenafly, New Jersey. Now, you could be sitting, and forget COVID for a moment, although it's impossible to forget, it seems, but forget it for a moment. You could be sitting here with 10 students. You don't know if you would have been successful. You have no idea what year number two would have brought. You'd have been sitting here with 20 students. You're sitting here with 70 or more. You think you said 73?
Yeah.
Which is a pretty astounding number. I told you I'm familiar just because of my life experience with new schools and what good numbers are in year number two. You're in a really nice place. I hope you realize that, especially for today. I mean, you're in a really nice place.
Yeah.
And that number likely because there's an open house coming up on November the
21st.
21st, thank you.
Yep.
There's an open house coming up on November the 21st where parents and eighth graders can, and I guess other students can, even other students in other high schools can find out about Or Yisrael. So that number could go, you know, over 100, 150. I mean, you know, lofty goals, but now you see that they're attainable. So it must be, you know, it could have been, as confident as you were, an experiment that would not have gone so well. Why are you sitting with 73 students now?
Great question. There are a lot of reasons. The main reason is because we're right. This, in my opinion, is the only way to educate American boys, high school boys. The only way. There is no other way, in my opinion. And it's not my opinion. It's from Matzeo Solomon Schlita's opinion. I know Dr. Srotskin, who I'm a very big chassid of. We have on our website, oryot.org, there's a Essentials Reading for Parents page. In my opinion, it has...
That's the vision is there.
The vision, everything about chinuch, about education, about raising children is on there. You know, education is really raising children. It's the same concepts and
it's a
principles. Yeah, but it's more than that. It's a relationship.
Right.
And you can't, and you shouldn't. Maybe I could read to you quickly.
Sure.
There's this amazing quote. I read it at Back to School Night. There are a few amazing quotes. But here go. This is from Matzeo Solomon Schlita, the Mashkiach of Lakewood. And he says in his book on parenting, which is called With Hearts Full of Love. It's on our website. Should a child be forced to do mitzvahs against his will? That's the question. Should we force children to do mitzvahs? It seems to me that he should not. The purpose of chinuch and mitzvahs is to introduce a child to them when he is still young, so that when he grows older, he will become conditioned to do mitzvahs, and so that he will perform them with enthusiasm and appreciation. Forcing a child to do mitzvahs, therefore, can only have the opposite effect. It can be the most counterproductive thing imaginable.
Wow.
I want to tell you a story that I experienced working somewhere. There was a boy who fell asleep in his class. And there are a million reasons a kid could fall asleep.
Well, it happens a million times a day. Yeah,
exactly. Most of the time, it's the Rebbe's fault, in my opinion, but that's a separate story. And
or too many extracurricular activities and not getting enough sleep, Rabbi.
Maybe, but if he was looking forward to the shiur, maybe he'd figure that out. But okay, so he fell asleep, and they gave him what they call a sleep, which is essentially a cut. You lose 2 points on your report.
As if you're not there.
Right, which seems to me a great way to inspire children to connect to Hashem. And when the child was then woken up after being given a sleep, which also doesn't make sense to me. If you're given a sleep, you should be able to sleep.
I don't think I sleep.
He then made him stand in the corner of the room for the remainder of the shiur. And I like to say this was not 1800s. This was very recent. To me, that's abuse. That is not chinuch. But these things are going on. And I feel passionately. Kids need to be respected. They're people. They have feelings. Their feelings matter. And I don't understand what we think we're accomplishing by making kids. Here, kids do not have to daven. They do not have to learn. And the parents know that. We're upfront about that. That's part of our vision, that they make that decision when they're ready. We are here to facilitate it, to encourage it. We are here. We want them very much to come to that decision because we want them to.
Some would say a non-davener might affect the entire davening experience of the school, no?
Well, listen, we daven next door in the Chabad.
Right.
So anyone who wants to join us comes. Anyone who doesn't is able to stay here. And we have a Rebbe here who hangs out with the guys and schmoozes with the guys and is able
and
to
And might
do
discuss
it.
With them why they don't want to daven.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. We have boys who will pop in and put their tefillin on and leave. And to me, that's tremendous. That's a wonderful thing. You know, I'm not perfect. I don't know. You know, I don't think most people are. You know, people.
Well, the hope is, of course, that they you are hoping that they feel that they'll get there eventually.
So
just this is the stage they're at right
well,
now.
Well, let me say something about that. I can't hope that. If I hope that, it gets in the way of my sincerity towards them as people. What I can hope for, or let me say it differently, I want them to be happy, and I believe the greatest happiness in the world comes from everything Hashem gives us.
So how about this? What they are doing, you'd like them to do with a full heart. If they literally are only putting on tefillin, you'd like that to be done with, you know, enthusiasm and with the love of God. Let's put it that way.
I want them to be happy people, healthy people, and I believe in order to be truly happy and healthy, you have to live a life of Torah. You have to have a relationship with Hashem. And my hope is, yes, that they will see that for themselves and they'll come to it. And we've already seen it. We've seen miracles happening where kids, you know, but even that's an important point. We have all kinds of kids here. I know a lot of people want to say, oh, Orisville is a place for a certain kind of kid. It is such a lie and is so overstated. It's just not true. I mean, I think everyone would like to believe that because it would make the story better and it would make it easier to not deal with the fact that we are saying that the education system is not working, in my opinion, which it is not. And yeah, I believe this is the place for absolutely almost everybody. If there's a boy that wants to go to like an Ivy League school, this is probably not the place for them. We don't have a track record. I can't prove in any way that we have relationships to get kids into a Harvard or a Princeton or a Yale. You know, that is not a place here.
Well, again, at least you're being upfront about it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, we're not. I'm upfront about everything.
Rabbi Friedman is the founding head of school. We should speak for a moment. I would imagine this is going to be one of our few visits to our Yisrael, so we should try to cover as much as possible, especially as we're telling the world about this relatively new yeshiva. For many parents, and I would suspect for most people in our community, or at least the communities that you're serving, secular subjects are very important.
Absolutely.
Again, just like you concentrate on hiring Rebbeim who get this mission, do you hire secular subject teachers who understand this mission.
It feels like I asked you to ask certain questions, even though I know I didn't, because really it's
well, that's one of the greatest compliments I ever got.
Yeah, no, really, no joke. I'm going to answer. I just want to tell you, I myself have a master's from Columbia.
Oh, wow.
So in spite of my difficulty with school growing up, I later, you know, was able to go on and, you know, have an academic career.
So you obviously went to college and then... And then to a master's program.
No, I actually went to Or Samech, which was an accredited BTL, and I later have a phenomenal story how it worked out at Columbia, but probably not for now. But I did go to
Columbia. So not Aish, but Or Samech.
Well, that was my last stop because of their BTL program, actually.
Interesting. And then from there to Columbia graduate.
Yes.
Interesting.
And, yeah. But back to your question. Great question. And it's really Rabbi Yablok gets the credit there. We interviewed last year teachers, which is its own conversation, because originally we opened without teachers for the general studies. It was all online learning, and there was a reason for that, a few reasons, if I could elaborate.
Sure.
Two reasons. One reason was because of COVID, there was this fear, you know, that we were going to be on Zoom, and let me tell you something, Zoom is not a good thing. So, you know, this avoided that problem if we had that problem.
And you did end up here most days.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem.
Thank God.
I mean, listen, we were small. You know,
right.
We were like 30 kids,
right.
So we had less.
But still.
Right. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. We were very fortunate. The other thing, though, was I hated sitting still in a class as a kid, and a lot of kids do. And it was amazing. When I started working in my previous school, and I got there in 2006 or 7, whatever year it was, I remember I saw kids on laptops in class, and I was like, is this happening? Like, are kids really allowed to be on laptops? Do they realize they're on ESPN the whole day? I wish I had this. I would have gotten less trouble. It was amazing. But so kids don't want to sit. You know, they want to. So I thought it was a great idea to let them do their work at their own pace online. But they still had to do their work. The
right.
program we worked with was a highly accredited program. Not only that, we wanted to prove we had a track record to get kids into college. And this program did it. It had a 40-year track record. Our kids all got into their colleges. They got to Rutgers, I think YU, whatever schools they applied to, they got into. I don't think anybody didn't get into the school that they had wanted to go to. We even had, you know, we had a student who was a star student in his previous school. We had a few of them who came here. Why'd they come if they were star students? They like the philosophy. They like the concept. They want to be treated as an adult. They want to, you know, have their feelings count. To me, the idea that a kid can't go to the bathroom during class is like, it's unbelievable. I mean, how could we have such little trust in our Talmidim that we're afraid they're going to manipulate our system? To me, there's something wrong with the system if that's our big fear.
Wow. So again, secular teachers.
Sorry, thank you. Sorry about the tangent. So back to our general studies teachers. They're phenomenal. Rabbi Yablok did an unbelievable job. I sat with him during the interviews. He ran them and he brought them in, you know. And we interviewed in one particular subject. There were two people that he had honed in on. And one of them had an unbelievable resume, like really unbelievable. And I was super impressed. And, you know, I'm not someone who cares about what people say. And I'm not like looking to fool people. But I was impressed. I'm like, look at this guy's resume. He said, yeah, but he'll never get the kids. He'll never be able to work with them.
Interesting.
And he hired the person with the less impressive resume. And she's a beloved teacher here. The guys absolutely love her. Mm. And she's a great teacher. And you know what? I think that school, yeshiva, could be fun. It should be fun. You know, really, I wanted to take NCSY Cola and make it a year-long experience. And that's what we've
done. What a compliment for Rabbi Benovitz. Wow.
Yeah. Well, they've done a phenomenal job over there.
Yeah. I know from personal experience. Rabbi Scott Friedman, the 21st of November will be an opportunity for parents and students to come check out Or Yisrael. Information, as you said, the website is?
YOT.org.
And we should say one thing before we wrap up this conversation. We are sitting here on what I consider to be a unique day. First of all, the eighth day of Aseres Mei Tshuva, if you look at Tzlichus in general, is a unique day. But aside from that, tomorrow night's Yom Kippur. I can only imagine what this week has been like for the Talmidim. We spoke to Ike Rosazada before. It's no secret that anybody who's in Israel this week, and I think even Balabatim in Israel this week, feel a special inspiration. What can you tell me about Or Yisrael over the last couple of weeks as they've experienced pre-Rosh Hashanah and now pre-Yom Kippur?
Well, certain Shirim are learning sugyas of Inyanei D'Yoma. You know, we have Rav Menachem Zupnik, who is a Rav of one of the biggest shuls in Passaic.
Right. Rabbi Zupnik.
Yeah, he's
here?
Oh, yeah. He's a massive Talmud Chacham. He gave classes in Penn and Princeton and NYU
right.
over his life. So I thought he would be a phenomenal person because, again, it goes back to the mission. This is not a place for kids that don't have another place, although it is a place for them also, I want to be clear. this is not a place for kids who are failing elsewhere. This is a lechatchila situation of the way chinuch is supposed to be done. So if Zutna gives a shir, you know, to be able to have someone like that in high school nonetheless is unbelievable. Our rebbeim are amazing. Also, I'll say one more thing. We have different types of rebbeim. So we have like two shirim that I would call like, you know, there's a lot of conversation, let's say. And two shirim that are kind of mixed, conversation with more learning. Then you have two shirim that are very serious learning and, you know, really only learning throughout the shir. So guys are able to pick. I want one of these and one of those. I want two of these. And we let them pick exactly where they want to go. I know previously I've been told that schools were afraid to do that. What if they pick one guy more than the other? Good. No, that's wonderful. That means he's doing a good job. But Baruch Hashem, we don't have that problem. The only problem I have is we have so many good rebbeim that the guys actually have a hard time picking.
A nice smorgasbord of offerings, huh? But in terms of this week, I mean, I know that in addition to learning, I know music.
Yeah.
I know that what some people would call Musar Shmuzes or just conversations about inspiring topics in Judaism. You said, "Yes, why Cole?" I'm trying to think of some of the things that they would do if they were open this week.
So good. Right. So I'll tell you what it is. So today we're ending our day. It's our last day before, before Yom Kippur. And we have Rav Shlomo Gason.
Oh.
Who is the head of, you know, he's the lead singer, sure. that is, of Zusha. And along with his, he doesn't work here, his partner, but Zach Goldschmidt, I think it is, who's my old friend Ari's younger brother. And Rav Shlomo, we moved his normal music slot. He comes in 4 days a week and gives a music, tefillah, meditation shir.
That's a good pre-Yom Kippur experience.
Right, so we moved it to the end of the day,
nice.
And we're
going
to close the day out. With the kumzitz.
Well, that's exactly what I mean. So you're paying special attention to all the extracurricular things, including the things that are inspiring, not just being in the Yeshiva League, which I believe you're in now, right?
Right. So we were just accepted, and we were working on putting things together. That we have a group WhatsApp chat with all the Talmidim and, you know, all the Rebbeim, at least the ones who have a smartphone. And last night, the guys were up till about 2 in the morning. I was up with them. Talking about who's playing goalie. They had a lot of different suggestions. We'll see.
Will the first game be in October or November? When's the first game?
I don't even know, to be honest.
But the schedule will be out soon, right?
Yeah.
And I assume you'll be in some New Jersey division,
I would guess. No yeshiva that has Joe Rosada as the president is not going to be in the Yeshiva League, I could tell
Founding
you
president, and we'll meet him later, won't we?
Yeah, maybe just one thing I could say quickly.
Of course.
Joe and Lori, really leaders of the community, not only founders here, but, you know, they just opened their own shul in West Orange, and Rabbi Cement, who you're going to speak to eventually, he's on the list. He's someone that we brought on as our new mashkiach.
Yeah, Joe's a big fan.
Yeah, everybody's a huge fan. He's an amazing person, an amazing rabbi. The guys love him. And he gave a shir last night there, and, you know, he built an heichal.
Right.
And, you know, it's just inspiring to be around a person who, Baruch Hashem, has done well financially for himself, but he looks to help the community. He looks to find ways to really make a difference in the world.
Yeah.
And
all you're saying, you could say it 10 times more, and it still wouldn't cover it, as you know.
1,000.
People need to realize that.
1,000 times more.
Great people.
So.
Wonderful family.
Yeah.
And as we said, the Beit Midrash Zichron David is named for Mr. David Rosazada, David Ben Yosef HaKohen, and in honor of the wonderful Mrs. Golda Rosazada, who we all know very well. And that is the centerpiece, the Beit Midrash, of this Or Yisrael of Tenafly, New Jersey.
Absolute last thing. I just really want to thank the Talmidim, the boys. People compliment me all the time. Look at what a great job you're doing. I'm not just saying this. It's the truth. The boys and the staff, they're amazing. It's a dream come true. And sometimes I look at boys who are unhappy elsewhere, and I literally think to myself, how could anybody not have loved this kid? How is it even possible? He's unbelievable. And they are unbelievable, and we love them, and we're so grateful to the boys because they really make it work. It wouldn't work if they didn't act so maturely and buy in the way that they do.
Very nice. The school day officially starts what time?
Officially 8:45. Today we push it off to 9 so that, you know, I could dive in with the guys.
I like that.
And but otherwise 8:45, we intentionally start very late so that, again, it's not a tircha for the guys.
Interesting. Rabbi Scott Friedman is the founding head of school. A very fascinating conversation about the founding of Or Yisrael of Tenafly, New Jersey. And I wish you a Gemar Chasima Tova. And we'll speak later on. But
you as well.
Gemar Chasima Tova and a good you are. More coming up at JMM. We're at Or Yisrael and Tenafly. Our final minister is Rabbi Scott Friedman, who is the founding head of school. If you missed our conversation earlier, it's worthwhile. Make sure to check out the archive at NahumSiegel.com. And Rabbi Friedman, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So first of all, I know you wanted to mention that this is a unique relationship. There are people here affiliated with other organizations who have been very helpful to Or Yisrael during your infancy, so to speak. Who do we want to thank?
I need to thank Rabbi Shane from Chabad of Tenafly. He's an amazing person.
His reputation precedes him.
He's an amazing person. Yeah. It's a schluss to have a relationship with him and know him. What he's done for us and for the yeshiva, for the boys, and it's unbelievable.
He's been very hospitable, to say the least.
Beyond, and I can never thank him enough. And just Hashem should help him many, many fold in the way that he's helped us. And I think we had a shared vision, and that's what it was. So when I came to him, he liked the vision, and he made space for us. And he's been incredibly flexible. And he's just an amazing person, so I want to thank him very, very much.
It's nice to have an opening year that's not in a trailer, that's not in a temporary building, but on a real campus, so to speak. You have a real campus here. So.
Yeah, well, that goes back to a question you asked Avraham earlier about extracurriculars. I just wanted to touch on one of the things we do, and I know we don't have a lot of time. I'll just mention it briefly. The day does not feel like you're on an airplane where you're just counting the hours to get off of it. It's intentionally very spread out. So the learning goes on from 10 to 12, but then they have an hour break where they can either go to lunch on Queen Anne Road or they can play ball in the gym. Then we have another two general studies classes and another break where they can again go out, for more lunch, or play ball in the gym. And then we have the remainder of our classes and a final shiur at the end of the day. But it's intentionally broken up, so you never feel like, oh my God, I have this long stretch of classes that I'm going crazy with. And so that's also a very important part of what we're doing.
Interesting. So we've spoken about staff and we've spoken about vision, but schedule, you would say, is very important as well.
Super
important. Also from your high school experience.
Super
right?
important to have that. Right. I know in Eretz Yisrael, the years I spent there, having that big break in the middle of the day gives you the ability to then focus in the afternoon and whatever else.
You also wanted to mention.
Yeah, one last thing. The best way to describe, because, everybody spoke about the love, the warmth, but to be fair, there are a lot of good rebbeim in a lot of places. And there are good, there are a lot of good people in different places. What I really hope comes from our conversation and from what we're doing here is a greater conversation about education, about chinuch. The major differentiator between us is our limudei kodesh is tar lishma. There are no grades, tests, or homework. That is the biggest difference. There are no grades, there are no tests, there's no homework, and it's optional. That is,
and the parents knew this
of course,
before day one.
100%. And that is a conversation I hope other schools will have, whether that is something that
could be a game changer.
I think
frankly.
It should be, personally. I know that in the previous school I worked, we did have what we called electives.
Right.
They were very popular. Kids liked them very much. And that's my tefillah. My tefillah is that this concept, which is not mine, I just want to be clear. People all the time, oh, wow, how innovative. It's not innovative. I got it from Reshit and Aish. They did it long before us.
You just want to implement it.
I just want to implement it in a high school situation. And that's it. That's my tefillah. My tefillah is that I hope that other educators will hear such an idea, consider it. And personally, I hope they implement it. And I'd be very happy if they put us out of business, to be honest with you.
Well, we've had another great road show, this time at Or Yisrael and Tenafly. And Rabbi Friedman, I take this opportunity to wish you a good yore, a Gemar Chasima Tova. I remind the audience, tomorrow night is Yom Kippur. This is a really important week to connect with the one above. And I noticed, as we're doing the final minutes of this show, not only are your Rebbeim gathering here in what is the Beit Midrash, but your students are gathering here and coming in to enjoy yet another important day. This is the final day before Yom Kippur in school. So as you said earlier, it's going to be an important one for the students.
Yeah, this is the final day and the very last thing. I want to thank my wife and my children. They're the most amazing people in the world. Incredibly fortunate to have such a family, and just want to share a thought about Yom Kippur my wife shared with me. I worry every night, how are we going to build? Where are we going to build? What are we going to do? And she reminded me on Rosh Hashanah, she said, the answer is not out there. It's in the Siddur, it's in the Tefillos. And at the end of the day, Hashem is going to determine everything for all of us, And I just want to wish everyone a Gemar Chasima Tova, all of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael here, wherever we are. Hashem should give all of us the most amazing year we've ever had.
Amen. And I thank you. Thank you for hosting us here this morning. A unique experience, to say the least.